Good morning. My name is Ryan Suzuki, and I'm the Children's Minister here at CPC. So thanks all for coming. Welcome to those of you joining us online. It's great to have you here. We're continuing in our series on Ephesians, and it's called Who You Are. And it's about understanding who we are in Christ, who God has declared us to be, what He thinks and says about us, and how that should influence us and guide us and direct us and lead us as we go and try and follow Him. Pastor Tyler has been doing the first 4 weeks, and we learned these things. We learned that you are chosen, that you are chosen by God. You are strong in God. You are a masterpiece. You are loved. And today we're learning that you are spirit-filled. You are spirit-filled. You see, we've had this kind of common refrain that we've said over and over and over again. It was just in an intro video, but it bears repeating. If you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When you know who God has declared you to be, when you know what God has said you can be in Him, it will lead you down this path. He will guide you and take you down a path, and you'll know what to do. But I think as we've gone through this, there's been a question of, wait, how does that actually work? How do I know what to do? How is that going to happen? How will I know? And today we want to investigate that and look at that a little bit further and see what God has for us. So we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, again, of course, chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I read this passage, there's a sentence that kind of jumps out to me. You know, for some of us, when we read the Bible, I mean, this thing was written 2,000 plus years ago, over its entire span. And there's things that happen in the Bible just because they're so old, they're outside of our understanding and kind of normal life and context, because it's just way back then. We don't know what it's like to live in a world without cars and planes and modern technology. And sometimes these things in the Bible we're reading about, kind of their everyday life, it's hard to relate to because it's not the life that we live today. But there's a part in here that I think is pretty familiar and crosses time and culture and the entire human experience. And here's what it is. Do not get drunk on wine. And we're going to talk and dive into that a little bit more today. But what Paul is getting at right here when he's writing this is he's talking about and asking the question and asking us to think about what influences you. What influences you? It's so important that you know what influences you, because when you know that, because we all have influences, we can lay that before God and ask that He would be the primary influencer of our lives. Let's pray and ask that God would bless our time and we'd learn from Him. Lord, we thank You for this time You've given us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You that You will lead us, that You declare who we are, and You will guide us into what we should do. Lord, we thank You and we praise You. Teach us today, in Jesus' name, amen. Starts off here, Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Let me just set this up. Paul is giving us these and telling us that we have a choice in the way that we live. He starts off that, be very careful then how you live. And there's an exhortation to us as believers, if any of you are in Christ, if you know Jesus, that we have an opportunity and a choice to live as ambassadors and a light in this fallen world. It says that the days are evil. That's just basically saying the world around us is full of evil, it's fallen, there's tragedy, there's death, there's war, there's all these different things. I do not have to remind you of that. You just turn on the news, you check Twitter, you go anywhere, and you see the world is broken. And Paul is reminding us of this amazing opportunity that we have, the choice that we have to choose to live for God, to be wise or unwise, to be foolish or to live as God would have us live. And he takes us down this, you have this choice to be a light in this world. And he pretty much encapsulates the whole thing right here. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I love that he chooses wine. I love that he chooses this, don't be drunk, because it's something that I think all of us have witnessed or experienced ourselves. Many of us have been at a party, a wedding, and someone has had a little too much. And how do you know? You can see it. You look like, that person's having a pretty good time here. That person, maybe it's the way that they speak. It's the words that they say. It's the way that they walk. Because what happens if you had too much to drink and you got pulled over? You get a what? A DUI, which stands for driving under the influence. You see, when you have too much to drink, you are under the influence of alcohol. Chemically, it alters the way that, physically, it alters the way that you move. It alters the way that you think, the way that you process information. You are literally under its influence, and it changes your behavior when you've had too much. And Paul is saying, don't be driven by that influence. Now, some of you, maybe you're hearing this, you're reading this, and you're feeling a little bit uneasy. You're feeling a little convicted. There's a little stirring in your heart because maybe this is a place where you struggle or you have struggled. Maybe someone's told you, I think you drink a little too much. I think you should, maybe you've had enough. And maybe there's that, and maybe you're realizing or you know that alcohol can be too much of an influencer in your life. And that's good. If God is working in your heart, listen to him. Let him guide you. Let him do that work. Sometimes when God wants to change you, it gets uncomfortable, and that's okay. Some of you, you don't struggle with this. That's great. You don't touch the stuff. It's not for you. But Paul's not going to let you off the hook. Because it's not just about alcohol. This is just an example. This is just symbolic, emblematic of what it means to be under something's influence. And oftentimes the influences in our lives are good things. They start off as good things. But when a good thing becomes an ultimate thing, becomes the primary thing, becomes the main influencer in your life, that's when you run into trouble. You see, with wine, a lot of times we can think like, oh yeah, wine's not great. In the Bible, if you actually look at it, when you read the scriptures and you look through it, when you look at when wine shows up, wine is overwhelmingly a good thing. When there's an abundance of wine, that's a sign of God's blessing, a cause for celebration, that God is with his people and his people are walking lockstep with God. When there's a lot of wine, that's good times for God's people. When there's an absence of wine, that means that it is not good, that God's people are not walking with God, that God is not with his people. That's where it shows up. In the Old Testament, when they'd bring sacrifices to the temple, they'd sacrifice like oxen, lambs, all these different things. They would also bring an offering of wine to God. It was a part of worship. When Jesus, his first public miracle, what is it? Turning water into wine at a wedding where they had drank all the wine and Jesus provides more. That's his first miracle. Wine is a good thing, but when it becomes the influencer, when it becomes this ultimate thing, when it becomes this thing that drives you, that's when it becomes a problem. And anything in your life, most of it good, anything that becomes the primary influencer of your life, it will take you down a bad path. Whether that influences money, success, a relationship, a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, your kids, whatever school you get into, if that becomes your obsession and your primary influence, you're going to go down a dark path. I was watching a documentary on HBO Go recently. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for your login. And I was watching, it's about this woman right here and her company. This is Elizabeth Holmes and her company, Theranos. Sounds like some of you have watched it. It's good. It's fascinating. And you can see right here, she's holding a tiny vial of blood. And she had a vision to create this company where you could, from that little amount of blood, like a pinprick, like a glucose test worth of blood, you would be able to put it into a machine and get all this information, a full blood panel, about, and you'd know all about your health. And it was great because if you've had to have a blood, your blood drawn for a blood panel lately, they take a lot of blood. And whenever that's happened to me, I start to get all dizzy and woozy. Imagine if you could get all that information from just this much, just a little drop. And her vision was to give power back to people, that they would understand their health, what's going on in their bodies, and that it would be accessible, and that she'd make a profitable business. That's a good vision. Those are good things. It's fine to create a business. It's fine to create a common good and a greater good for people. But as you learn about her story, and maybe you've read articles, maybe you've watched the documentary, things didn't go the way they planned. The product didn't quite work. But there was a drive and an obsession for success, to please investors. Greed takes over. Power takes over. They begin to tell half-truths, then outright lies. They begin to threaten employees and former employees. And by the end, this drive, whatever that thing is, that it becomes the primary influence. And that Theranos is gone, shuttered. Elizabeth Holmes and other executives are indicted for fraud. And it's a mess. And what starts off as such a good and positive thing, a good motivation, ends in utter disaster. It doesn't start there. Think about this, you know, the admission scandal. We've talked about it a couple times, but again, I just wanted to come back to that with the idea of parents. If you are a parent in this room, and many of you are, what do you want? You want success for your kids. That's good. You should. If you don't want success for your children, get your head checked or something. You know, like you want them to succeed. You want them to live a good life. You want them to have all these things and more. And these parents, like we read this article when it all comes out, and it's crazy stuff is happening. It does not start that way. It starts because they care about their kids, like many, all of us do. And then they take this other step where maybe they're helping them fill out an admissions, an application, helping them cheat on a test, bribing school officials, photoshopping their children's head onto another high schooler athlete body. That's crazy. We look at it, that is absurd. That is insane. But it starts way back at this place where it's a good motivation, your kids, but then becoming intoxicated with that influence. And that becomes an ultimate thing. The thing that drives you. The thing that makes it all worth it. The thing that gets you up in the morning. Anything, and usually it's good, any influence in your life that becomes the ultimate influence in God's place will potentially lead you down that path. So my question for you this morning is, what influences you? What influences you? It's probably a good thing. But when it becomes the primary, that's where we run into trouble. For me, the two things that get me caught up all the time that become ultimate things for me are wanting people's approval and wanting to be successful. And both are good things at the beginning. It's good to want to be a good person, to be kind to others, to be loving, to be seen as caring and all those things. That's good. I hope that I can do that. That's a great thing. That's a motivation from God. There's success. God calls us to work hard, to do what we're supposed to do. He's called us into whatever it is, working hard at home, working hard at our jobs. That's a good calling. We're supposed to be pursuing excellence and glorifying God through the ways that we work. But so often for me, and I'm sure for many of you, I fall into this trap where it's just my happiness, my emotions, my sense of self-worth are just completely tied and bound to that feeling. I've shared with you before about a time where I was unsuccessful. Man, when I felt that I wasn't being successful, when I kind of give into that influence, it can just drag me down into a pit. It'll take me to a dark place that I do not wish to go. And I know that God does not want me to be there. Because when that thing becomes an ultimate thing, when my kind of well-being rides on my own success, I'm going to be in a bad place because I'm not always going to be successful. What influences you? Because when we know what influences, when we can point to that thing, we can actually lay it before God and do what Paul says right here. I love this. It says, do not be drunk. Don't get drunk on wine. Here's the amazing words. Here's what we do. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk on success. Don't be drunk on wine. Don't be drunk on money. Don't be under the influence of anything. Instead, be filled, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It's powerful. But some of you, maybe you're newer to the church. Maybe this is what your first couple, you hear us talking about the Holy Spirit and you're nodding your head saying, yeah, that sounds great, but what's the deal with the Holy Spirit? Who is that guy? Tell me about him. So I want to just do a quick little primer on who the Holy Spirit is and why we talk about him and why he's the guiding influence in our lives. You see, for us as Christians, we believe in the Trinity, that God is one and three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's three in one. And so we have one God that exists in three persons. And so now it's totally clear to you, right? It's all, oh, that totally makes sense. Great. You see, that's what we see in the scriptures. We just see that the Holy Spirit is referred to as God. Jesus is referred to as God. God the Father is referred to as God. And yet the Bible keeps telling us that we serve one God. And here's the thing. That's not, I don't think we will ever fully comprehend that idea. It's most of this side of heaven, at least. Maybe never, because most of us, we're just one. I'm just Ryan. That's it. I don't have this other thing going on. But we understand that God exists in these three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, and Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. He says that it's necessary for him to leave, that Jesus dies, is resurrected, and ascends into heaven. He says, I need to go so I can send the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, he talks about the Holy Spirit this way. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Holy Spirit of truth. In John chapter 16, a couple verses later, it says this. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and what he will tell you, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because he is from me, it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He is with us. He's our teacher. He's our leader. He lives within us. And there's this idea and this trend and this movement in the scriptures where God is more and more and more present with his people. You see, in the Old Testament, you have people like Abraham and Moses, and their interactions with God are a little bit different than what we have today. God's appearing in things like clouds, and you can't really look at him. You can't really do it. There's this kind of distance that you have to stay away. When God shows up, it's terrifying. It's frightening. People are falling to their knees. They're afraid that they will die just because they are in the presence of God. God is so holy, so other, and it's incredible. And it's just this, there's a certain distance that the people had to have from God. In the New Testament, at the beginning, when the birth of Jesus, we go back to the nativity, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and to Joseph, and he talks about how they're going to have a son, Jesus, and they're going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Jesus is born, and there now we have God in human flesh, Jesus, the man who is God. And you could actually, you're James, you're John, you're one of the apostles, you can go put your arms around God. You can shake his hand, give him a high five. You can have a face-to-face conversation with God unlike any other time in human history. And we might think, oh, it'd be so cool if Jesus was still here and I could talk to him. And that's great. But Jesus says, no, I'm leaving. I'm going back to my Father so you can have something even better.
He says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. I'm going to send God to dwell within you. If you know me, if you follow me, if I am the Lord of your life, then we have literally today, if you are a believer in Christ, you have God living in you. God is more present with you than with anyone in before Pentecost. God is with you always. And so when we think about this idea, if you know who you are, you'll know what to do. If you know who you are, if you know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you know that you're a Christian, you'll know what to do because God lives in you and guides you and directs you and nudges you and takes you down his path. And so like it says at the beginning, what Paul's been saying, you have this choice. You can either be under the influence of other things, of wine, of success, whatever that is, or instead be under the influence of God himself, who will guide you, who will lead you, who will teach you, who will take you down a path. And I always think, like, when we receive, you know, if you pray to receive Christ, you get the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. He gives you the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. And I feel like when that happens, it should come with a warning label. Because the Holy Spirit will take you down these crazy paths. So I think about Paul. Paul, this guy, he was known for, he wrote all sorts of, like most of the New Testament, but he also was just an evangelist. He would go city after city after city after city, and he would proclaim the good news of the gospel. And inevitably, almost every single time, a group of people would get so angry with him, would get so fed up with this Jesus preaching that they would throw him in jail, they would have him beaten. Eventually, Paul, we know from church history, was beheaded, was executed. But there's this one incident recorded in the Bible where people get so angry at him in this one city that they drag him out, they throw rocks at him until they think he is dead. And then Paul's traveling companions come up expecting to find the lifeless body of Paul. And Paul gets up, dusts himself off, and goes right back into the city. That's a spirit-filled life. That's a guy that's willing to be all in for Jesus. That's led by the Spirit. You see, God's going to lead you to do things that you never would have imagined, that are sometimes terrifying, I would never choose. If someone threw rocks at me, I mean, on my own, I would never choose to do anything where people would throw rocks at me till I die. But with the Spirit, you see, with Paul, he knows, he has this courage, this power, because he knows, no matter what's the worst thing that could happen to me? Well, I die. Then I get to go be with the Lord. Talks about that in the book of Philippians. That's the worst thing that can happen, is I get to go be with Jesus. I get to be in heaven with him forever. So I'm going to just do what God calls me to do. There's a story from the early church in the second and third century. Now, in the church, it starts as this kind of grassroots movement. And even 100, 200, 300 years after all the apostles are dead and gone, it's still just this grassroots movement. It's not this worldwide thing. But in the Roman Empire, there were several plagues that swept through, like smallpox, the plague, the Black Death, the bubonic plague, sweeping through the empire. And there were people dying by the hundreds, the thousands, the tens of thousands. And what would often happen is in this Roman household, you can imagine, dad would start to display symptoms of what everyone knew was a highly contagious disease. And you'd be saying, hey, dad, sorry, it looks like you've got a fever and you're having all these these signs. You're out. We're throwing you out of the house. You have to go die on the street. We don't want to get sick ourselves. There's accounts of just these families abandoning family and friends because they're sick. But there was a bishop of Alexandria at the time named Dionysius, and he records this, what Christians did in response. He says, most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ, and with them departed this life serenely happy. For they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. Many, in nursing and curing others, transferred their death to themselves and died in their stead. That is Spirit-filled living. That is Spirit-filled living, where these people are willing to go out and take charge of highly infectious, dying people and being willing to die for them, to show them the love of Jesus Christ. That is Spirit-filled living. Also, during that time, it would very acceptable in Roman culture, if you had a baby, if you gave birth and your baby was deformed in some way, was malformed, it was acceptable and even encouraged to abandon that baby, to put them in a, throw them in a trash heap, to be devoured by wild animals, or to be die of exposure. That was common. And Christians were known for going out, taking those babies, bringing them into their homes, and raising them as their own. That's a radical love. There was this, the last non-Christian emperor in the Roman Empire was a guy known to history as Julian the Apostate. Pretty cool name, Julian the Apostate. And he did not like Christians. He was trying to suppress and to snuff out this movement of people. And here's what he says about them. He says, "When it came about that the poor were neglected and overlooked by our priests, then I think the impious Galileans," that's what he called Christians, "observed this fact and devoted themselves to philanthropy." In another letter he wrote, the Christians support not only their poor, but ours as well. "And all men see that our people lack aid from us." You see, this guy did not like Christians. And yet when he looked at the behavior of Christians, the way that they loved, the way that they loved without condition, everyone, he could not help but give them credit. How amazing would it be if someone looked at Christians here, or if they said, generalized about Christians, like, "Man, I don't know if I believe in this Jesus guy. I don't know if I buy what they believe, but those Christians, they love everyone. They care about everyone. They're willing to go to the ends of the earth to care for people." We have organizations and people like this and Convoy of Hope or Compassion that are on the front lines of disaster and poverty, serving people, bringing the love of Jesus Christ. Like we just said, we had all these students and adults go to Mexico. I have some pictures right here. Look at it was spring break last week. They could have been sleeping in till noon, which is what I did in high school or something like that, doing something amazing. And instead, they were filled with the Spirit and they went down and served and built houses. If you've not ever built a house, it is hard work. And they gave their time, and they slept, and they gave. They were filled with the Spirit, and they went and cared for these people. We heard about Spirit-filled living where people went down there, and over 140 students gave their lives or recommitted their life to Christ. They're filled with the Spirit. Some of you were there. You gave your life to Christ. You're just starting that journey of being Spirit-filled. And my prayer for you is that you would learn to tap into that power, that you would know the Holy Spirit, and he would guide you, and you would listen to him. And let's be clear, there's non-Christians out there, of course, people that don't believe in Jesus, that do good things. There's plenty of people that aren't Christians that are doing a good in this world, and that's because God's grace, he showers it over his creation, because he loves his creation. He loves everyone. The thing that should be different about Christians, if you call yourself a believer, we should be known for the way that we love. We should be known for taking risks for the sake of other people, to show them the gospel, to love them the way God loves us. And you might be, we're doing this for the valley, for the valley. We want to reach people. And we do not want that to just be a slogan on a shirt, saying that we say. We want, by as we do this, to people to look back and say, CPC, the people who are at Community Presbytery, they love everyone. They care. They are out there. They are not just talkers. They are doers of what they believe. And maybe they don't believe in Jesus, but they see that we are living a different life, that we love people unconditionally, that we care for them, and we are out there seeking the good of our community and the people around us. And through that, we pray that they'll see Jesus through us. You see, when in that Roman Empire, during the plagues, during all those things, as people saw the love of those Christians, that's what truly ignited the Christianity as a movement, it was undeniable that these people loved others and that they didn't care about their own comfort, their own anything. They cared about other people because they were spirit-filled. They followed a God who loved them. They had a victory over death. They did not fear, and they put themselves out there. And we can tap into that same power. We can go and do incredible things because God is with us. And you might be asking, how do I do that? How do I tap into that power? This is kind of the church answer. And I'm going to tell you it because it's true and it works. If you want to live by the Spirit, if you want to be filled with God, you need to know God, know Him better, spend time with Him. Things like prayer. If you're not asking God, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? What are you calling me to? Where are you leading me? If you're not asking and then listening, sensing that urge, that push as the Holy Spirit leads, it's going to be hard to hear Him. If you're not in the Word, if you're not learning about who God is, you know, He's revealed so much about what He is and what He has for us in this book. If you're not learning about that and studying that, it's going to be hard to hear His voice. I do things like, sometimes I journal, I write out a prayer, just as a matter of, just a discipline, just a different way to experience God. I want to create more quiet in my life. I have this little backyard on my deck set up, and it's a nice, like, tree area. Sometimes I just listen to music, read a book. Sometimes I just look and just behold what God has created, His wonderful creation, say, God, what do you have? Just listen. Glorify Him. Worship Him in that presence. Maybe this week, that's where you could go on a walk. Take out your AirPods and just say, God, what do you have for me today? When we know, and I've found for me, the more I engage in things like that, the more that I live into and listen to God and get to know Him better, the louder and louder His voice becomes in my life. The stronger I sense the Spirit leading, and I can see where God is taking me, where I'm being led, and I get to experience that. And then when He calls me to do something that's scary, that's frightening, that I wouldn't normally do myself, I'm reminded of that I'm rooted in this love, that I'm called by God, and that I'm being led by Him. And for you this morning, I want you to look at, as we've seen throughout this series, all of these things that we get, they're from God. But remember, these are all things from God. You are chosen by God. God chose you. You are strong. The Bible says we are weak and God gives us the strength. It is God's strength that carries us along. You are a masterpiece. God created you. He made you. He knit you together and has declared you a masterpiece. You are loved. That love, that grace, that faith, it comes from God. It is a gift from God. And finally, you are Spirit-filled. He gives you His Spirit. He says, I will always be with you. So you can be rooted in His power, in His love, and in the knowledge that God has already paved the way for you. He is for you. He loves you. And you can live for Him without fear, with boldness. And God will take you on an incredible journey as you live for Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day and this time that You've given us. We thank You for loving us. We thank You that You give us Your Spirit. So Lord, today for us, that help us to identify that thing, that good thing that is can be an ultimate influencer in our lives, a primary influencer. Let us lay that at Your feet and confess that thing to You, to ask for Your help and instead be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank You that You give us everything that we need, including Yourself. Lord, I pray that we would live boldly. I pray that we'd live in the power of Your Spirit. I pray that we would walk with You and that people in our community, our family, our friends, the people all around us would know who You are because of how we love and care for them and glorify Your name. Lord, we thank You and we praise You. Fill us with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name.